Galatians chapter 3. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 2. Have faith that believes in the baptism Jesus received from John and the cross. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. It is already Wednesday evening. Tomorrow, we will finish the morning and afternoon sessions. And the day after tomorrow, we will return home. Everyone, I hope you sleep with a warm fire lit tonight. It will be cold at night, so light the fire sufficiently. Even if you turn on a fan, if the floor is cold, it is easy to get sick. Following today's daytime session, I intend to preach the word in the evening session as well. During the day, I preached on the part that Christ came to this earth and saved us, and that God's promise to make those who believe in it as numerous as the stars in the sky was fulfilled according to the word spoken to Abraham. This evening, I intend to preach the word concerning faith. Let us read verse 23 together once. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Before faith came, for the faith which would afterward be revealed. I will speak about this part. Before faith came, we were bound to the law, and we were kept in custody until the time of faith to be revealed. To read and realize this word is truly a great thing. I believe that even if you realize just this one verse, verse 23, you will abundantly receive this salvation given by God. Before faith came, then what kind of faith is that faith? To receive faith, you must first know and believe in God who created this heaven and earth. On this earth, there are many gods who call themselves God, or gods created by humans. For example, there is the Jade Emperor, spoken of in Taoism. If you look closely at the picture of the Jade Emperor, he has the appearance of a king of a nation. People of old thought that just as there is a king on this earth, there would be a king in the kingdom of heaven, and they considered him to be the Jade Emperor. He looks like a noble person. But ultimately, it is something they created themselves. Other religions likewise created gods with their own thoughts. However, the one who created this universe is only one. He is the one who created this earth, trees, flowers, seas, mountains, and people. He is precisely the God the people of Israel have believed in, Yahweh God, the self-existent God. The one who created the heavens and the earth is God alone. All other things are created by humans, and the true God is the one who created this universe, created the stars in the sky and the sea, created this earth, and created the fish, the birds flying in the air, and people. We must believe in God and know His plan. We must realize God's purpose of creation, why God created people, why He created the earth, why He created flowers and beasts. God created all things to give the kingdom of heaven to us people. Also, He created them to give us precious blessings. And He created them so that we may live well within those blessings on this earth that He created. We must know this fact. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, He said before faith came, and to be saved before faith came, is to know the will of God. God loves us. Because of that, God eliminates all our sins. Also, he lets us live well in the kingdom of God, makes us workers of God, and gives us all the good blessings of heaven. God has prepared those blessings in advance. And God removed our sins in such and such ways, and gave those blessings to us. The Apostle Paul said that before the faith that believes this came, we were kept in custody under the law. I will speak about the law in a little while. First, we must think about what is contained within this one word, faith. We must know what kind of being God is, what God's plan is, what relationship exists between God and us, and with what purpose, and why God caused you and me to be born on this earth. Only then can we have true faith. Let us look together for the Bible verse that speaks of this part most accurately. Let us look together at the word from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-6. We will read it responsively. I will read one verse, and you will read one verse. Let us read it like that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-6. The Apostle Paul declares in this word, blessed be. The Apostle Paul declares, let us praise God. Why must we believe in God and praise God? Where is the reason to praise him? It is precisely this, that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, already chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. First, it means that God the Father and his Son Jesus, to give us salvation and the blessing of living well in the kingdom of God, chose you and me in Jesus, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. What is contained within this word, chose? We are beings who are born on this earth through our parents, grow up, have children, live, and eventually enter the tomb. We are truly fragile beings. Because we are practically weak and lack many things, we cannot keep God's laws and commands well, and we cannot keep our parents' words well either. It is not that we do it because we do not want to keep them. Because we are weak and lacking, we keep forgetting and committing wrongs. It means he chose us to save exactly such us. It means God chose you and me. The word, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, has this meaning. We were born on this earth inheriting sin as descendants of Adam. We are beings who are born from our mother's womb, laid in a cradle, live through the process of growth, and eventually die following the path of birth, aging, sickness, and death. It means that God, taking pity on and loving us who have no choice but to die, and have no choice but to go to hell, due to our own sins, and the sins inherited from our parents, chose us to make us children of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I must make these children my children, and chose us. This is like a child in an orphanage. If you go to an orphanage, there are many children. Among them, a person who wants to adopt visits the orphanage. In the case of a person who is well off and can afford to live but has no children, they prepare all the documents, visit the orphanage, and look at the children. They receive guidance that there are such and such children, review the documents, and see the children directly with their own eyes. They talk with the children, observe them from afar and up close, and finally make a decision. I want to adopt this child. They make the choice like that. If they choose exactly one child out of those many children, the orphanage director must give that child to the person who wants to adopt and make them their child. God choosing us in Jesus Christ is exactly like this. There are truly many people in this world. There are people who try to live righteously before God, and try to live righteously before people, and strive to live kindly, without stealing. Even so, because they have the genetic factor of sin inherited from their parents, they become good at lying, swindling, and stealing without even knowing it themselves. It is swarming with people who are more cunning than Jacob. Of course, among them, there are also smart people who do not lie much. But God looks like this and says, "This child is pitiful. I must take this child and make them my child." He chooses one child out of those many children. The orphanage director says, "As you can see, this child's outside and inside are the same. They are a somewhat foolish and terrible child. You will regret it if you take them." Then, the person trying to adopt answers like this, "That is exactly why I am choosing this child. I will take them to my house, put clean clothes on them, send them to a good school, teach them well, and even have a tutor to educate them properly. I chose this child to pass down my wealth to them, buy them a car, let them study, and make them live very well, to live like a proper human being." They say it like that. Then, the orphanage director must give that child away. The way God chooses us is exactly like that. In this world, there are many people who show off, and there are also many lacking people. Take a look at the people who believe in Jesus. First, take a look at myself. I am like that to begin with. I am incredibly stubborn. If you look into my heart, there is nothing useful inside it. I am mean, evil, lacking, weak, and even childish. There is not much that is great about me. If you leave a person like this alone, it seems no one will take them, and no one will cherish them. Even when you go to adopt a puppy, don't you bring a pretty one? If you go to an abandoned dog shelter, look around here and there, and pick exactly the one you like, the shelter gives it to you. You write down the number and name and bring one. But if it is ugly and dirty, you do not bring it. But God is different. Ugly, mean, evil, and useless. A person who, if left alone, will receive no love and go to hell. God chooses exactly such a person. "If I do not love you, you have no choice but to go to hell, and I must save you. Therefore, I choose you." This is exactly the meaning of the word, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God knew in advance that you and I would be born as descendants of Adam, and become so mean, evil, and lacking, and become completely useless before God. And it means God chose such a person. Before the foundation of the world, before creating this universe, before you and I were even born on this earth, before your ancestors were even born on this earth, before Adam and Eve were even born on this earth, He chose you and me from among the terribly foolish people who would be born on this earth in the future. Now, let us think about it once. When you and I look back at ourselves, are we truly people worthy of God choosing us? Or are we not? Please point to yourself and try saying it yourself. "I am a person worthy of God choosing me." Or, "I am a person He would not choose." Which side is it? "I think God will choose me, because I have nothing to boast of, and I am a person who will go to hell because of many sins. When I was young, I even swore that I would not commit sins. But as I get older, my skills in committing sins increase. I commit sins without being caught by others, and I pretend not to commit them while committing sins in my heart. I am truly a fully automatic sin-committing machine. I commit sins the moment I open my eyes." There is also a saying like this in Buddhism: "Even just breathing is a sin." We humans are born as sin-committing machines already from the moment we are born. When a newborn baby is born crying, "Wah," The parents might eat seaweed soup and say they are precious. But in God's eyes, one more sin-committing machine has been born. Do you also think so? When you think of yourself, do you think, I am a pretty decent person? Or do you think, I am a lacking person who commits many sins? If there is anyone who thinks it is the first one, it is a big problem. From this evening, until before finishing all gatherings tomorrow, I ask the group leaders to take responsibility, preach the gospel, and guide them to heaven. We might not be able to meet again at the next retreat. I ask this of you earnestly. I ask the elderly to also confirm the gospel once again. Our mother here, you said that you also used to think the Jade Emperor was God, right? God is not the Jade Emperor, but Jehovah God. Jehovah God is the God of Israel and the God of Abraham. It is truly a great relief that a wise person like you has now come to know this well. I did not say this to attack our mother here. It means that all of us are like that. Young people are the same. The reason God chose us is because He pitied us so deeply, knowing that we might go to hell. If left alone, would we go to hell or not? If Jesus does not save you and me from sin, do we go to hell? Or would we still go somewhere in the middle? Do you think you would go to purgatory at least? That is not so. In the kingdom of heaven, there is only hell and heaven. There is no middle. It is just that those waiting for judgment are temporarily in the middle, and when they are judged, they are divided into two places, heaven and hell. Staying in the middle is never a good thing. The person who spoke of this part most accurately is the Apostle Paul. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. It means He determined it in advance. God determined in advance to save lacking people, to send them to heaven by removing all sins in Jesus, and to bless them by making them children of God. He already determined it before you and I were even born on this earth. Therefore, what you and I must do is to be saved by faith, believing in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is to become a person who believes that God loved me, and to send me to heaven. He took charge of my sins through the baptism He received from John the Baptist, died on the cross on my behalf, and rose again to become my Savior, making me a sinless person. God loved us so much that He personally received the punishment for our sins, saved us from sin and judgment, and allowed those who believe to go to the kingdom of God. There is no other way than believing this with the heart. The way to go to heaven is only the way of believing in the righteousness of Jesus. The reason God loved us so much to save us, give us blessings, and do all these things is ultimately to make us praise God and His love. That is why He chose us, predestined us, and saved us. With what gospel did God choose us? He chose us with the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which is God's love. God is a God of love. When the humans He created in God's image went wrong, God did not just leave them alone. Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent and ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which He told them not to eat. Because of that event, they became sinners. After becoming sinners, their descendants continued to have children. And since a sinner gives birth to a child, that child also becomes a sinner. It is the same even now. If you marry and have a child in the flesh, you are giving birth to a sinner. For that reason, we must preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to them so that they believe in Jesus and receive salvation. We are born once as a human, and by believing in God's love, we are born once again. That is, by being born again, we become children of God and go to heaven. It means God did so in order to make us praise God's righteousness and love. I can understand everything the Apostle Paul say I. We said, before faith came. But do you have the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Ah, God loved me and saved me, because I am lacking, and a person who must go to hell. Even before I was born on this earth, He prepared the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit in advance to save a person like me and send me to heaven. You must know this. Knowing and believing this is faith. Believing only what is visible to the eyes is not faith. Knowing God's plan and His love, and knowing and believing the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is true faith. What pleases parents the most from a child is when the child knows, understands, and accepts the parent's heart. Such a child is the most filial child. No matter how well one serves their parents, it is useless if they serve them in a way the parents dislike. For example, if the parents believe in Jesus and want to go to heaven, but the child places the parents in a Buddhist temple in their own way and says they will feed and support them for a lifetime, that is unfilial piety. The person who knows, understands, and accepts the parents' heart and obeys their will is a true filial child. It is the same before God. God loves us so much that He wants to give us salvation and take us to heaven to live well. And if a person accepts and believes that heart, that person receives salvation. However, if one does not believe that heart and pushes it away, that is the greatest unfilial piety. Elderly mothers and fathers, isn't that really so? It is truly so. When children are young, they do not know their parents' heart and cause much distress. However, after children pass puberty, they come to know how much their parents suffer and what their parents' will is. If the parents believe in Jesus, they should follow well. It is said, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. What does the law do? God gave it to let us know that we are those who commit sin. God gave commandments. Do not have other gods before me. Do not make and serve idols. Do not take my name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. He broadly summarized and laid down these 10 commandments. However, if one breaks this commandment even once in their entire life and commits a sin through action, that person is someone who will go to hell. There is no one who does not do so. Everyone is lacking and is a person who commits sin. If by chance there is anyone who thinks they do not commit sin, that is a great miscalculation. One must reflect oneself before God's law and commandments. I have not lived according to this law. I am a person who commits sin. I am a lacking person. One must know and acknowledge this. That is why it is said, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. God gave the law on this earth, but until when is this law needed? It is needed only until one has true faith. What is the faith that receives true salvation? It is that in Jesus Christ, God loved me this much, chose me, and saved me. It means that God already knew all this from before the foundation of the world, before I was born on this earth, and had predetermined it. The law is needed only until one has that very faith. Then, one might ask if the law is unnecessary after receiving salvation. There is the law of the Spirit, which is stronger than the law. The law points out only what is done wrong through revealed actions. You shouldn't do that. You did wrong. However, the law of the Spirit points out even what is wrong in the heart. You shouldn't harbor such a heart. You shouldn't act like that. You must live righteously. It means he speaks like this. We are people who live following the law of the Spirit. If we explain this word exactly as the word says, it is very easy. Each and every verse is simple. But if you cannot understand even when I speak like this, what use is it, no matter how much I say? To summarize, faith is this: the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, knowing and believing that God loves you and me, and that because of that love, God personally put on human flesh, came to this earth, and removed all our sins, and that the law is needed only until we have that faith. If, even after receiving salvation, one argues using the law, "Did you act righteously or not?" what would happen? We can deceive as much as we want. The law points out only what is revealed through actions. However, Jesus said this: "It was said in the old commandment, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I say to you, if you look at a woman with a lustful heart, you have already committed adultery." He told us to think and act on whether we are righteous or unrighteous before God, not only in revealed actions, but from within the heart. That is why the law was needed before true faith came. Then, has the faith come that believes God loves you and has removed all your sins? Then you are saved. You must chew on that faith like chewing food. God loves me. He loved me. And to save me, He sent His Son, had Him baptized by John the Baptist, to take charge of all my sins, made Him die on the cross in my place, and brought Him back to life to save me. I am a person who cannot keep God's commandments well, either physically or spiritually. But clearly, God loved me and did this to save me. I know this, and I believe this. If you believe like this, you receive the removal of sins. Although we are Gentiles now, we believe in the God of Israel. The true God is only one, the God of Israel, and the rest called gods are all imitations and frauds. Progress is really slow today. Still, if just verse 23 is well organized, the rest can go smoothly. God's word speaks specifically, so it is easy to understand, and if that doesn't work, it speaks repeatedly. However, a person who is not born again only speaks theoretically and finishes. They chatter. In Greek, the word faith means this and that, and this comes from where? And then finish the sermon. Did you come to learn Greek at this time? Did you come to learn English? They say they teach the Apostles' Creed in English to young children. But does this make sense? Try asking mothers to write the Apostles' Creed in English. They couldn't write it, even if they died and came back to life. That is to discriminate against and suppress people. How do people who minister without being born again suppress church members? They quote philosophers, get a degree like a doctor of philosophy or doctor of literature, put on a gown, put up a signboard, and then lay it out saying, "This saint said this, and that philosopher said that." Honestly, among those sitting here, how many would know who those people are? This is what happened when I went to Russia for mission work in the past. Russian sisters took us to a park to get some fresh air. Music was flowing from the speakers in that park, and although I didn't know what music it was music that provoked an urge to dance excitedly. Everyone was walking quietly. Among them, Sister Raisa walked so fast that no matter how much I tried to follow, I couldn't catch up. Thinking, "Well, go alone if you want," I walked around looking here and there by myself, and then I got drunk on that music and ended up dancing once in the square. Because I was excited and danced to my heart's content, the ministers who went with me said they were dying of laughter, and even though there weren't that many people around, the Russian sisters also watched. Raisa and a few others came and danced together, and as the people around watched, a big commotion broke out. If you know the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which is God's word, you can be saved easily. If you know, it is easy, and if you don't know, you won't know even if you die and wake up. This word of God is not something you can know no matter how much you attend worldly schools and study. Only a person who is born again, by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, can know it. The evangelist so-and-so sitting over there also once said something like that. He said that if he reads one chapter of the Bible and reads the next chapter, he cannot remember anything from the previous chapter, and if he reads the next chapter again, he cannot remember a single thing he read before. I used to be like that too. When I was attending worship and listening to the Word, I would think, "That is so true." But once I left the chapel, put on my shoes, and stepped outside, I couldn't remember a single thing. I couldn't even remember what text I heard the word from today. It was literally zero. However, once you believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and are saved from your sins, when you look at God's word, everything comes to mind and connects with each other. Therefore, all I need is this one Bible and a Bible dictionary. Why did Jesus receive baptism from John? I also once did not understand this part, why Jesus received baptism from John. So I asked people questions and asked them to teach me. However, there was no one who taught me. So I continued to pray and even fasted and prayed while fretting over it. Then one day, while reading the word of the Gospel of Matthew, suddenly, like a fluorescent light turning on, my heart came to realize the truth of Jesus' baptism. Oh, this is why Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist. This is why the Bible called John the Baptist the representative of mankind and called him the last prophet. When the high priest of the Old Testament passed sins onto the sacrifice by laying his hands on it, the sins passed from the people to the animal. In the same way, when John the Baptist gave baptism to Jesus, the sins of the world were transferred onto the body of Jesus. That is why Jesus said he fulfills all the righteousness of God. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist, Jesus had the sins of this world transferred to him. And bearing those sins, he went to the cross, was crucified and died, and finally resurrected from death. As the knowledge of knowing the truth of salvation brightly entered my heart like this, I came to know that all the words of the Bible from Genesis were connecting together perfectly. From then on, wherever I opened the Bible and read one or two chapters, I came to know what the word meant spiritually. Salvation is said to be God's gift. What I did not know, even when I opened dictionaries to research and piled up books of theologians to study, I came to know and realize like this from a certain day. Therefore, I have become a person who can preach comfortably before you even now. I tried to preach powerfully this evening, just as I did during the daytime. But Pastor Shin said this: "After finishing the meeting, I think we should preach the gospel to Mother so-and-so." After hearing those words, a sudden burden came to my heart. The thought also came to my mind whether I would be able to meet Mother so-and-so again next year. No one can know what will happen to our flesh. I would be glad if Mother so-and-so comes, and I hope she will come again. However, since she has come this time, I hope she returns with the assurance that she has been saved from her sins. Please have fellowship in the gospel. The same applies to the others as well. Those who believe well do not need to have separate fellowship. The work of preaching the gospel is a work that drains all the essence of the ministers. Among sermons, the hardest is the sermon that preaches the gospel of the water and the Spirit. However, if you understood while listening to this word, then that is enough. Now, let us read from verse 26 to 28 with one voice. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. The gospel of the water and the Spirit that we preach is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the Apostle Paul preaches. When the Apostle Paul talks about faith, he necessarily testifies to God and God's love, and from whom and how the Son of God received baptism, and how he hung on the cross and resurrected from death to save us. He necessarily testifies to the baptism Jesus received from John and the blood of the cross. If we believe in God and God's love, and believe with our hearts that God sent His Son and saved you and me from sins through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we become those who are baptized into Christ. By believing in the baptism Christ received from John and the blood of the cross, we become the sons of God. A person who believes the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit believes that Jesus Christ came to this earth and took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John the Baptist. By bearing the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John, Jesus went and was crucified on the cross, thereby receiving the judgment for our sins. And by living again from death, the Lord gave us the water of eternal life and new life. Now, let us read from verse 26 to 28 with one voice. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. The gospel of the water and the Spirit that we preach is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the Apostle Paul preached. When the Apostle Paul talks about faith, he necessarily testifies to God and God's love, to whom and how the Son of God received baptism, and how he hung on the cross and resurrected from death to save us. The Apostle Paul necessarily testifies to the baptism Jesus received from John and the blood of the cross. If we believe in God and God's love, and believe with our hearts that God sent His Son and saved you and me from sins through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, we become those who are baptized into Christ. By believing in the baptism Christ received from John, the cross, and the blood, we become the sons of God. A person who believes the word of the water and the Spirit believes that Jesus Christ came to this earth and took charge of our sins by receiving baptism from John the Baptist. By bearing the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John, Jesus went and was crucified on the cross, thereby receiving the judgment for our sins. And by living again from death, the Lord gave us the water of eternal life and new life. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Whoever is baptized into Christ is one who believes this. Jesus became God and our Savior, and received baptism from John the Baptist to take over our sins. Bearing our sins, he was crucified on the cross in our place, shed his blood, died, and received the judgment. He went into the tomb and lived again, and blotted out all our sins. Do you believe this? God is a God of love. Because he loves you and me, he could not help but do this. It means he did this to save us, because he could not bear to see us go to hell. Everyone, we must believe. We must accept that love of God with our hearts. Then, I will read this one verse, verse 29, and finish. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. He who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes one who belongs to Jesus by faith, becomes Abraham's descendant by faith, becomes one who has the same faith as Abraham, and becomes a child of God. And by faith, one inherits the kingdom of heaven that God promised to Abraham as an inheritance. That is exactly the inheritance. We receive everything by faith. By faith, we receive God's love. By faith, we receive salvation. And by faith, we go to the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for us. I hope you become those who believe all these gospel words of truth.